And if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter 9 this morning. And we'll be there in a few moments. And this morning, of course, the first Sunday of December of the final year of the month, of the final month of the year. And a time where we begin to focus on the Christmas holiday, the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that manger so many years ago. And this morning we're going to begin a Christmas series entitled, "Tis the Season." Tis the Season, experiencing or discovering the true meaning of Christmas. And over the next several weeks, I hope for us to come away just a little bit from the busyness of the holidays, from the hecticness of the holidays, and help us to really just celebrate the Christmas season by looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And looking at, really, and over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at four gifts that as Christians and even non-Christians that are offered because of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem in that manger so many years ago. And over the next several weeks, we're going to unwrap a new gift weekly. And this morning I have our first gift that we're going to look at. And our first gift this morning, we're going to look eventually at love and generosity and peace. But this morning I want us to look at the gift of hope. And the fact that with the Lord Jesus Christ's birth, when he came into this world, he brought with him the gift of hope. And as we're going to see this morning from Isaiah's account, he gave this prophecy of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in a time when there was seemingly no hope. And if we look at the world around us today, and we turn on the news and we see what's happening around us, we too seemingly live in a world where there is no hope. But folks, I'm thankful to say this morning, we do have a hope. And it's not a false hope, it's not a dead hope, but we have a hope that lives this morning, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that this morning. So I want you to keep your mind focused on the gifts that Jesus brings. By the way, the gifts that Jesus brings us are a lot better than any gifts that are waiting under a tree for us this year. And we're going to see that this morning. Isaiah chapter 9. And I want us to see this morning that Jesus' birth invites us to hope in a good future. But not only that, Jesus' birth brought forth hope to a hurting world. Notice there, if you would, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, perhaps two of the most familiar portions of Scripture in all of the Bible. But Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach you on that thought. You notice there in verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I'd like to preach just on this thought, the gift of hope. The gift of hope. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you for the gifts that we have through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, Father, I pray you would help us to calm our minds, calm our hearts. Help us to focus on you and you alone. Speak to us now, meet with us in a special and real way. And Father, if there be one here this morning that they have not received this gift of hope, they've not trusted yet in your Son for salvation, I pray that they would not leave this church without getting it settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And Father, now just give me the words you'd have me to say. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the message be a help, a challenge, encouragement to these your people. And for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you and we need you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so here in Isaiah chapter 9, as we look at these two verses, we find Isaiah prophesying of a coming king. And he prophesies of this coming king who would serve as a wonderful counselor. He would serve as the mighty God. He would serve as Father forever. He would serve as the Prince of Peace. Now, he was giving this prophecy in the time of death. He was giving this prophecy in the time of turmoil. He was giving this prophecy in the time of the unknown. And he is now here telling us just how much hope would arise. Now we think again of our day and age, and we live seemingly in the same type of day. Days of death, days of turmoil, days of the unknown. But yet here in the Word of God, we have hope proclaimed. Today we have the benefit of reading the multitudes of prophecy proclaiming the coming King, that Jesus was coming to this earth to be born as a babe in a manger. And then not only that, we get to read about his birth. We get to read about his life. We get to read about his death on the cross. We get to read about the fact that he was put into a tomb. And then we get to read about the fact that he did not stay in the tomb, but 3 days later, he rose again. And we have that for us in the Word of God. We have that for us in the Bible. And we find that through all of those things, we find hope in the midst of what seems to be a hopeless generation. And we live this morning in a spot on the timeline with knowledge of it all. And see, that's the difference between us and Isaiah and Isaiah's time. Isaiah here, he was prophesying this here in these two verses, chapter 6 and 7. So he was telling the people, listen, this is what is going to happen. Now, I'm sure the people were listening to him, and they're living in this time of death, in this time of turmoil, this time of the unknown, this time where there was no hope. And then here comes this preacher to say, don't worry, there's hope coming. They probably say, oh, sure, Isaiah, you're insane, you're crazy. There is no hope. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Noah. Doesn't it? When God came to Noah and told Noah to build the ark, and Noah, he's out there building the ark, and he's warning people that a flood's going to come because of the rain, and people, they come and they laugh at him, they mock him, they scorn him, and they say they didn't even know what rain was because they hadn't seen any rain. But what did we see 2 weeks ago from Abram? God said it, and Noah did it. He obeyed. Even in the midst of the mocking and scoffing and getting made fun of and all the rest, he was about what God told him to do. And so when God comes to Isaiah and tells Isaiah to prophesy of a coming king, of a coming Messiah, of a coming counselor, of a coming king called Wonderful, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, for unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given, Emmanuel, God with us. And so when God comes to him and tells him to give this prophecy to his people, there is probably no hesitation in Isaiah's mind, because he knew that the God who gave it would be the same God to fulfill it. And folks, this morning we have to realize that. When we read the Word of God, when we read the Bible, it's not just some fairy tale book. It's just not some fantasy. It's just not something that makes for good reading. But know when you read it, you can take it to the bank that if God said it in His Word, if it's prophecy, if it's anything yet still to come, then it is going to come to pass, because God keeps His Word. And that is where we get our hope this morning. The fact that God keeps His Word. And so, but again, Isaiah, he was prophesying this. This was something that was still yet to come. But now here in our day and age, we have the account of His birth. We have the account of His life. We have the account of His death. We have the account of His resurrection. And so if any people should have more hope, us or them, well, it should be us. Because we have everything that we need to know that our Savior lives, and that one day He's coming again. And He's coming again soon. Well, that's the type of day that Isaiah lived in. Isaiah lived in a dark, tumultuous, unknown day. Someone once said this about our text this morning: the whole of the Old Testament is a text for Christmas. The creation of the world and the fall of humankind, the choosing of one family to bless all families and one nation to bless all nations, the exodus of that nation from captivity, the giving of the law and settling of the land, the choosing of kings and building of a temple, the sins of the people and cries of the prophets, the exile in Babylon and the return to live under Persians, then Greeks, then Romans, and the long, long wait for the one anointed to come and deliver. This is the history, the story that leads us to Jesus. You see, this morning, Jesus' birth brought us hope. When there seems to be no hope, Jesus is our hope. We live this morning in His unshakable kingdom of now, but also not yet. You see, this morning we experience His hope, but we also long to live in the kingdom of heaven with Him. We're not there just yet, though, are we? No, we're not in the sweet by and by just yet. We're still here in the nasty now and now. Which means, yes, we still have to deal with sin. Yes, we still have to deal with sorrow and heartache and sickness and all the rest. But folks, there is a hope that awaits us, that one day Jesus is coming again, just as He did 2,000 plus years ago in that manger, born as a babe, the sinless Son of God, and one day He's going to come again for you and for me. Somebody else said about our text this morning, the Christmas stories themselves call us to a different vision. Matthew's gospel is the most obviously Jewish, but that's where we find the story of the obviously non-Jewish wise men coming to worship Jesus. Luke's gospel is the most obviously Gentile in orientation, but that's where we find the obviously Jewish shepherds coming to find the newborn child. Like the animals around the crib, the Christmas scenario opens up to include the world. Shame on us if we shrink that vision to fit our prejudices. Jesus' followers are called to model God's hope for the world. And see, folks, that's exactly what we're called to model this morning. When folks come to us, we should always be ready to give them hope that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how on earth this morning can we have hope when we look around to see a world full of destruction, darkness, and even hopelessness? Simple this morning. As Christians, we can trust God's word. We can trust history and our lives to prove He will bring hope in our homes. He will bring hope in our communities. He will bring hope in our world. I want you to notice there, if you would, Isaiah chapter 9. And we see here Isaiah continued the theme of light and darkness from chapter 8. In fact, go back up to chapter 8 if you would. Isaiah chapter 8. And notice there verses 20 through 22. The Bible says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, and they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look under the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. And so here at the end of chapter 8, we find that there is no hope. We find that there's darkness. There's destruction. There's nothing to hope in. But then we get to chapter 9, and Isaiah continues the theme of light and darkness by announcing, notice there, verse number 1. Notice that first word, nevertheless. Nevertheless. In other words, what Isaiah is saying, he's saying, in spite of the darkness, in spite of the turmoil, in spite of the heartache, in spite of the sorrow, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Verse number 2. The people that walked in darkness, notice what it says, have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. In other words, there in chapter 1, Isaiah says, nevertheless, despite the darkness, despite the heartache, despite everything you faced, there will be no more gloom. The Redeemer will come, and He will bring to the world the dawning of a new day. There will be light. And when there's darkness, but when there's light, the light always what? Drives the darkness away. We know this morning that this prophecy refers to Christ because of the way it's quoted over in Matthew chapter 4. Turn there if you would. Gospel of Matthew chapter 4 this morning. Matthew chapter 4, beginning of verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Nephilim, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Here it is, verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of and shadow of death, light is sprung up. But then it goes on, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is identified as Galilee of the Gentiles, and his loving ministry to the people would bring hope, light, and joy. And then chapter 9 of Isaiah, verse 6, declares both the humanity, a child is born, and the deity, a son is given, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see he is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So this morning we find if his name is Wonderful, then there will be nothing dull about his reign. As Counselor, he has the wisdom to rule justly. As the Mighty God, he has the power to execute his wise plans for this world and for your life. And then the Everlasting Father. If you want anything this morning, anything eternal, that is, then you must get it from Jesus Christ, for he is the Father of eternity. This morning we're talking and thinking about hope. Take that song sheet there, if you would. And you were given, as you came in this morning, on the back page of Only Believe, that familiar Christmas carol, O Holy Night. I want us to focus just for a few moments on these words. And we'll sing it here at the end of the service, but notice the words, if you would. Verse 1, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Notice what it says. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. No hope. Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Notice what it says. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night divine. You notice those words there. Till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. Until the Lord Jesus Christ came, there was no hope. But folks, he's come this morning. And with his coming, with his birth, he came to give a gift. And that gift was salvation through himself when he went to the cross. Suffered, he bled, he died for you and for me. He was buried,
But 3 days later, he rose again. 40 days after his resurrection, he would ascend to the right hand of God the Father, where he sits today, waiting for the Father to say, "Go and get my people and bring them home." There's a saying that we use as Baptists that we believe in the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. You say, what is the blessed? We know what the book is, that's the Bible. We know what the blood is, that's his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. You say, what's the blessed hope? The fact that not did he only come the first time, not did he only come there that first Palm Sunday, riding on the donkey in Jerusalem, but that one day, Jesus is coming again. And all heartache, all sickness, all sin will be done away with. Because guess what? There's none of that in heaven. There's no turning on the news in heaven and saying, "Oh, how is the world ending today?" No, there's none of that. Because heaven's a perfect place where we will go and be with the Lord for all of eternity. You know, this morning, I'm sure there are those here that, and we realize Christmas and the holiday season is supposed to be a festive time. It's supposed to be a joyous time. But I also realize not everybody looks forward to Christmas, because it can be a hard time for some folks. In this box this morning is a hole in the top of the box. Here in a few moments, we're going to give an invitation. And what I invite you to do this morning, maybe this morning you have a burden on your heart. Maybe this morning you have a prayer request that you haven't shared with anybody else. What I want you to do, I want you to find a piece of paper somewhere. And on that piece of paper, anonymously, just write that prayer request down. I want you to come and put it in the box. I want you to come and exchange those burdens, those prayer requests, whatever it is that's heavy on your heart. And I want you to exchange them for the hope that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you might not have the answer for that burden. I might not have the answer for that burden. Oh, but folks, this morning, he has the answer for that burden. Because with him, there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning I invite you to come and exchange your burdens for the hope that is found in him. Remember, don't put any names on those prayer requests. I'll eventually get to this and open it and read it and pray for each prayer request. But keep it anonymous. Only you and the Lord need to know what's on your heart this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.